The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Paul Mines, Chief Executive Officer of Biome Technologies, BIOM, sticker there. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. Good to speak to you again.
Yeah, and you just released your interim results start of the week there, and there's a lot of positives in there. Of course, there's been some supply chain issues, which is not unique to you. It's globally, you know, it's a problem. But we'll talk about that and how you're seeing your way through that. Before we do that, Paul, if you could explain the business, because there's sort of two parts to it, if you could.
Yeah, okay. So the sort of the main division is our bioplastics division, and in that we make bio-based and biodegradable stroke compostable plastics that often go into sort of packaging applications, and we make those materials in Europe and the USA and sort of supply into the sort of upmarket packaging applications. Mm-hmm. And then our second division is the RF Technologies division, where we make radio frequency equipment for heating and welding, and particularly with a focus on the fiber optic market.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, good stuff. So, your revenue for the half year, this is up until the 30th of June, was 2.6 million, just up slightly on last year. Gross profit 0.9. The bioplastic division, let's focus on that for the start. You've got growth there of 7.3%, and you say despite logistics disruption caused by an ongoing issues in the global shipping industry. Now, you had a customer that was going to account for quite a bit of that growth. They have issues, haven't they, logistically? And so there's two bits to this. There's the global supply chains and that customer. How is let's talk about, I mean, it's, in fact, let's talk with the customer, because we all know about the global supply chains and you can't do a lot about that. But how is this customer, have they sorted out their problem there logistically now?
Okay, well, we announced earlier in the year that, you know, one of the main drivers of growth was going to be a customer that buys compostable mesh from us. That's a filtration mesh product that goes into coffee pods. Mm. And they gave us a contractual commitment back in March time to move ahead, put some equipment in, and deploy our material in their business. Mm. We started with that. They started using our materials. But unfortunately, as they began that process of adoption of our materials, they hit a hurdle with their own utilities in their facility, which meant they got to sort of using a reasonable amount of our material, but still way off what we expected for this year. Anyway, so they went through a process of looking at how they could debottleneck their utilities. They needed some engineering work, some design work, and through the summer they've got on with that. And what we've announced in this RNS is that work is now nearing conclusion, and we expect that to be sort of back to the races at the beginning of Q4 as that implementation continues, and that should really help drive our growth for the second half.
Yeah, so I mean, as you mentioned at the time, it was, you know, some people said, what is it, they cancelled? But you said no, it's not a cancellation at all, it's just postponement.
They bought all the kit that would allow them to do sort of a full implementation, but we just went into this holding platform, this holding sort of pattern, as they sort of debottleneck their facility.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And I think sort of picking up on your, I think the logistic challenges, you know, have affected the rest of the business in the first half. You know, we've had containers going to the US that rather than take 2 weeks have taken 3 or 4 months. So there's been a bit of drag in the first half, and we're delighted to have made some growth anyway. But those shipping issues have been frustrating, both continued supply positions and doing some of the trials we need to do. You know, just getting materials together for trials has been a challenge. I think we're sort of, as we've said in the RNS, I think we're now on, I don't think those logistic issues are going to go away, but I think we're now managing them. We've got more resources on them. You know, we've put some more stock down in various locations so we can respond. You know, and we're putting a lot more time and effort into planning every trial we do. So, it's a bit of a distraction, but it's, I think, what all businesses have to do at the moment until the shipping issues subside.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, when it first started, this global supply chain issues, I suppose you didn't know about it, you know, and so it took you by surprise, and everyone, how slow it was. But now, I suppose, like you said, you can manage it a lot better because at least you're aware of it, you know?
We can, you know, but, you know, it's still a frustration. You know, yeah. Raw materials from Asia take, you know, 72 days to get to us rather than perhaps 24-30 days that they used to. You know, it's a challenge of moving in an agile way, but we're getting used to it and we're working with it, and I think we're going to have to be used to it for the next 6-9 months. I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah. I just want to talk about that. You mentioned in the RNSA that the prospects there, you mentioned the filtration mesh there underway, second end-use customer. The coffee pod material there, the company's heat-stable material developed for coffee pods, is attracting new customers when the US market and commercial sales of this product are gaining momentum. So can you explain the process of how this works? Because someone asked me, said, they sort of said the same kind of thing in the last update. So how does it work when a customer approaches you, or you approach a customer? How does it logistically work?
Yes. Okay. So, you know, often the approach may come from what we would call a converter. That's someone who takes our plastic and makes it into an injection molded part, or makes it into a flexible film. You know, and down the chain, there might be, beyond that converter, there might be someone who actually makes the packaging. You know, that, or the coffee pod, and then beyond them, there might be the brand themselves. So often you've got sort of three, anywhere between sort of two and four elements of this chain. Mm-hmm. You know, and we may get the approach from directly from the initial converter, or we may get the approach from the brand. Mm-hmm. You know, you then set off along a path in which we sort of prepare the materials, and we need to do sort of trials with the three or four different elements of that chain. And often at the end, you know, the brand will take the product and put it in small quantities into the market to test with the customer before they go for large scale adoption. So I can understand why, from a sort of external perspective, it might appear slow, but, you know, actually what you're sort of building is this whole sort of supply chain and confidence all the way along the chain that the materials work as expected, and they deliver for the end customer, the brand, and then the consumer in the market. And, you know, and I think what we found is once you've got that chain enabled, you know, that kind of business is quite sticky, because it's not easy for them to go anywhere else. But it's true, it takes a while to get that pipeline really built and developed and humming.
Yeah. And as soon as they, like I say, start testing it, and they're increasingly, say, happy with it. I mean, like I said, they wouldn't just switch their packaging overnight. So it was a slow increase, isn't it? So that explains, you know, that gaining momentum phrase, isn't it?
Indeed. You know, and often, you know, we'll start with kilograms of products, and then we'll move to, you know, to hundreds of kilos. Then we'll move to 1 or 2 tons, you know, and eventually we'll move to container loads on truckloads. But, you know, that whole process can take between 6 months and 3 years. You know, it's a wide variety, and along the way we have to do a whole variety of testing, including composting testing of the final product, because every product that's put into the market has to be compostable testing, and, you know, that's a 6-month process in its own right. Yeah. So, as I said, you know, it takes a while to build these positions, but they're pretty sticky once you've got them built.
Yeah, and like I said, these positions, you're getting more traction, more interest, and the packet.
Yeah, I think that's the really encouraging thing. You know, that we've got, you know, there's a lot of interest in the product, and, you know, the sort of development pipeline as well is broadening, which is really nice.
Yeah. Well, and so on the packaging film here, so the company is working on 7 new customer projects that focus on the conversion of flexible packaging to compostable format. 6 of these are in North American market, and 1 is in the UK. And what levels are these at? And why is it you're attracting more interest from the US then?
I think the, to be honest, in the UK market, the market is quite small, quite limited, and the sort of direction of travel towards compostables is still limited. You know, the legislative framework, the ability of local councils to collect, uniformly bioplastic waste is not there yet, although it's coming. You know, universal food waste collection will start to occur in 2022-2023 in the UK. But for the moment, the market's small and not universal. So, you know, we've got a few opportunities in the UK, one of substance that we're working towards, but it's not the vital market that America is. You know, around the coasts of the USA, you know, they have got the composting infrastructure set up. They have got sort of legislation for collection in place, you know, and many of the sort of mid-size and larger brands are all moving towards compostable materials, particularly in the likes of sort of upmarket packaging and in the areas where you've got food mixed with packaging. So, and, you know, around this, you know, it's the sort of flexible film type products that, in which you, you know, these are the packets of coffee beans, of biscuits and things like that, where people are moving towards compostable formats.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's, I suppose, only going to go in one way, isn't it? I mean, we're not going to backtrack now on these packaging.
I don't believe so, because, you know, as what we find is the sort of brands sort of are moving this way and sort of taking it as a real sort of badge of environmental integrity. You know, I think it then, once they've made that moves, it's difficult for them to go back, and rightly so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, if you've got, you know, say, two coffee pod manufacturers and one are using, you know, recyclable compostable and one's not, the one is going to feel under massive pressure to adhere to ESG standards that the other company is, isn't that, I suppose?
Correct. You know, and that's what we find. And, you know, and as we've, you know, we entered the US coffee pod market some 4 or 5 years ago now, and what we've found is, you know, we've both grown with the customers who we made that entry with, but other customers are also coming in to talk to us and work with us, and so we can sort of feel that sort of application and sort of market base broadening as well as deepening with the first customers we started with. And, you know, and that's really encouraging, and it's the kind of effect you just described, that as they see that the winners in the market are the people, you know, the brands offering more sustainable options, others have to get on board.
Yeah, yeah. So seeming like this, you know, getting a bit of momentum here in the UK is the Tree Shelters project. Now, you received 248,000 from Innovate UK funding. That was, I think, on top of 52 or 53,000 previously. So what's happening there? Explain what's going on there.
Yeah, so this was a sort of a project that sort of lasts into next year. But we've been working with a company called Shore Green, who are a producer of tree shelters, tree guards. And over the last 18 months, we've been developing some new materials for those tree shelters. Now, you know, our expectation had been that we probably wouldn't launch sort of commercial products until the back end of 2022. But, you know, we've received lots of encouragement to sort of perhaps consider how we might get product into the market earlier. I mean, this is quite a hot space. There's a lot of environmental pressure on not sort of putting plastics in the environment from these products. You know, by our calculation at the moment, some 2,500 tons of polypropylene ends up in UK soils every year because of these products. And so there's a lot of pressure to change, you know, and we're, you know, over the next few months, we intend to produce, you know, several tens of thousands of tree guards, which will be put out there in sort of the wild, if you like, to start to really test the product in real world conditions. We're now sort of concluding the work we're doing in lab conditions, and it's now time to sort of put them out there in the wild. So yeah, a really encouraging project, lots of market pull, and lots of interest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And let's talk about Stanelco. I mean, I know you say that it's a cyclical business, of course, and it started sort of suffering a little bit due to that in 2020. But you're seeing the early signs of encouragement here.
I think, you know, if I sort of think back to last year in this market, you know, the fibre optic market was very quiet. The big telecos were struggling to put fibre optic cable in the ground or under the sea. Many of our customers shut down for long periods, and it was very quiet. We got very few inquiries. You know, as this year has gone through, we've spares and sort of service have started to recover. So we've seen that our customers are now running their existing furnaces at quite high rates. We've seen the price of fiber optic cable recover, which really does suggest that end market is recovering. And in the last 3-4 months, we've started to see a trickle to begin with of inquiries for more CapEx to be, for new furnaces to be installed. So I think, my feel at the moment is the sort of that installation of new equipment won't really start to motor until 2022, but it's really encouraging that these sort of lead indicators are suggesting end market recovery. I think what we've also said in the statement, while the fibre optic market's been quiet, we've made some sort of notable contract wins for sort of some more general industrial heating equipment with delivery dates in the second half of this year, and that's what's keeping us moving for the moment. They're not of the scale that we might expect from the fibre optic market, but encouraging nevertheless that we're sort of broadening the portfolio into other sort of general induction, aerospace, automotive, sort of other glass type applications that are not fiber optic. It's still, we've not got the vigor back into the RF technologies business that we might hope, but there are some good leading indicators, as we've said in the trading statement.
Yeah, absolutely. Barring sort of, global supply issues and all that, I mean, on the bioplastic side, are you quite bullish? Are you quite confident?
Yes, we are. I think, we've set out in our sort of key performance indicators that sort of 40% growth a year is what we're aiming to do with the bioplastics business. And I think that is, very doable, in sort of the medium term. We're focused on sort of getting through these logistics issues and sort of getting the business sort of back to growing at that rate.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. I mean, looking at the valuation here, you're not overly valued 2x sales, pretty much. It's not a stretch anyway. So there's plenty of upside there. Okay, Paul. So as always, on the front page there of Vox Markets, there's a list of 10 companies that have been most followed. That changes on a minute-by-minute basis. So if you could to get on that list, give us 3 quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button and add Biome Technologies to the watch list, please.
Oh, absolutely. So, the bioplastics division is going to grow rapidly over the next few years, and it sits right at the center of, ESG concerns, big brands' concerns about how their products and packaging look. So as sort of the climate change issues ramp up, as people are more aware of these issues, it's only going to drive more needs of bioplastics. And Biome is superbly placed to respond to that. We've got manufacturing in Europe and the US. We've got sort of spare capacity through our toll converters. So we're in a position that we're able to respond to do that with very limited CapEx. We manufacture through toll converters. So, good product, good manufacturing base, growing market.
Marvellous stuff. Paul, good to chat to you. And hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.